25 years on the PGA Tour and a lifetime member of the PGA Tour and PGA of America. Jay Delsing brings you his perspective on one of the world's greatest games as a professional golfer and network broadcaster. It's the game that connects the pros and the average Joes. Brought to you by Whitmore Country Club. Golf with Jay Delsing is now on 101 ESPN.
Good morning, St. Louis. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay, here with my buddy John, and I can't wait to do this show, Pearly. I cannot wait to do this show.
Well, I'm so excited to talk about the Masters, talk about Tiger, but I love the fact that you were down there witnessing it firsthand. I love that you're bringing that to the table here.
Yeah, I'm just so fortunate. But let's, you know, we format the show like we format a round of golf. So the opening segment is the On the Range segment. It's brought to you by 20 Minutes of Fitness. 20 Minutes of Fitness, just 20 minutes once a week, and it works for me. Well, man, we're where do we even start? First of all the things that I've said about Tiger and his injuries and everything.
You're taking them all back?
Yeah, I take them all back, just like some of the things that I quote on this show that aren't accurate. I never thought he'd win again. I never thought he'd win a major again. And just watching him do his thing yesterday was, what words do we use?
Well, I just think it's fantastic when you're saying, as far as counting him out, how many times can all of us think of the times where this isn't going to happen, this isn't going to happen again? I can remember early days. I think I've mentioned it on the show before. I was sitting at the PGA golf show when Tiger first got his contract with Nike and throwing it out there. I believe the number was $60 million. And literally sitting with a Nike guy laughing, going like, what is wrong with you people? And it probably turned out to be like a penny on a dollar for them, as it turned out. It's probably the best deal in the world. Tiger got himself screwed on that deal.
There's no doubt. I mean, what do you think about how did Nike do last? How did Nike do in the last group?
Yeah,
yesterday
last couple minutes going pretty good.
With everybody was wearing a Nike hat and a Nike emblem on their crest. Well, let's get a couple of the things. We're going to have get with our friend Justin Hoagland with Golf Tech, as we do on every show. I want to tell you about Valentino Dixon, May 3rd at the Ongott Arts Hotel. It's presented by Arts Unleashed. It's going to be an evening where I get to interview Valentino. We're going to have some of his art there. The hotel down there is absolutely spectacular. So it's reach out to me at jay@jaydelsongolf.com if you're interested in tickets, supporting it. It's, I think it's $100 to get in. It's open bar. There's some great great food, but more importantly, you're going to get to see some of his artwork.
And if you haven't seen that hotel,
it's a draw in itself.
Yeah, you've got great stories and a great facility. There's going to be a lot of fun things going on there.
We've got, I mentioned Justin Hoagland. Let's go to Justin right now. And Justin Hoagland is the city manager and fellow PGA professional down at Golf Tech.
And Justin's going to talk to us a little bit about how much time to devote between short game and long game.
Hey, thanks, Jay. This is a really important one for all golfers. It has to be. Look, based on my own observations over the last 20 years of teaching the game, and so many times I've seen players who have good swings and are pretty good from tee to green. And then when you see them, though, from 75 yards and in, they're chipping, they're pitching, they're putting. There's a real disparity, isn't there? So in general, I've found that it takes a lot longer to develop a good short game than it does a good long game. Now, not all players, but most. Not many players I know of are opposite. At that. So, look, according to Game Golf Technology, one of the stats that is out there is that 41.3% of our strokes that we make on the golf course are from putts. And as for the rest of the short game, from 100 yards and in, that number balloons to 60%. Well, let me just say this, though. Eliminate or take out the gimme putts from 3.5 feet or less that a lot of people take for granted, and that 60% figure is less meaningful. So remove the short putts that are rarely missed, and shots from 100 or 100 yards or in account for more like 40 to 47% of all shots. So look, I prefer a good balance But I tip the scales towards short game much more than long game in most situations for most players. Quickest way, of course, to shave the strokes. And lastly, let me just say that there's four good reasons why short game is the best tool for game improvement. Number one, as you know, Jay, that pros spend a lot longer on the range with short irons and short shots than they do the longer ones. Number two, they hit it closer, which makes them better putters. Number three, they spin the ball better, which is controlling the shots better in and around the green and on those short shots with the loftier clubs. And then number four, they just have accurate short iron miss hits, right? They eliminate greenside trouble easier. So those things we can take into consideration when working on our game, especially inside 100 yards.
And that's how to improve your golf game. Thanks, Justin.
That's great stuff, Justin. Thanks for joining us. I know you've got to be just as excited as we are with this Masters that's on tap.
They do have to be excited about that, because how many more people are going to get jacked up about golf? Here you go again. Tiger brought all this excitement to the game. I'm going to get my years wrong. 20 years ago, is it now? And had those years where he was just kind of making things happen. You always see people talking about the TV ratings or whatever they are, double when he shows up, which is amazing to me. I watch these events regardless, but I guess so many people, if Tiger's not playing, they're not going to watch. He just put an injection of adrenaline and excitement into the world of golf.
He absolutely did. And one of the things, I mean, that we've got to mention is the records. You know, the historical perspective here. This is his 81st win, Pearl. He's one victory behind a victory total that never gets mentioned. Sam Snead won 82 golf tournaments. Tiger's got 81. How many would you – here's what I want to ask you. How many?
Is it a hard question?
Most likely. It's coming from me. It's got to be, you know, relatively stupid and easy for you. How many victories and majors does Tiger win without the snafu of
I don't know, but that's
2009?
That's part of the game, is a snafu. Which snafu are you talking about? The personal snafu?
Yeah, I'm talking about all the personal stuff.
Oh, personal stuff. Yeah, but I mean, you know, whether it's his complete crash and burn, or it's marital issues, or it's financial issues. I mean, all those guys, all you guys, faced all of those different challenges. That's part of the beast of the tour, but it also happens to us regular folk in jobs and stuff. We got to just not perform in our jobs on the course. We got to kind of make the whole thing, everything pulled together. So I know if everything would have gone perfect for him, I have no idea. He would have blown it all away and nobody would have ever accomplished anything compared to Tiger again.
It's true. I think he would have had 20 to 25 majors and he'd have had 150 wins. And I really do. I mean, he was winning. He was winning at a clip of like 6-7 tournaments a year. His winning percentage was at 26 point, almost 27% of the time he tees it up, he won.
Because I don't know that most people realize, previous to Tiger, I think the best winning percentage was just under 10%.
And it was?
Nicklaus.
Right.
And so you think, wait a second, you're telling me the best guy ever previous to Tiger is winning 1 out of 10 times, or actually not quite? Yeah. And the guy behind him, by the way, is about 2%.
Oh, it is about 2%. It is. It's just amazing. The flair to which he did it, the emotion with his children, the different, I mean, it's just spectacular. So let's recap a little bit of the week for me.
But I want to hear your perspective of being on the ground. Obviously, you know, the tournament was last week. There's been a gazillion people talking about a gazillion things, but you were on the ground. What are some things you picked up from that you can share with us as far as atmosphere goes? And somehow we got to talk about number 12, because it still makes absolutely no sense to me how the best players in the world keep hitting it in the water from 150 yards. I understand it's a tough hole, but for the record, I got to play that hole, and I knocked it on the green, and I made par, almost made birdie.
Did you get a video of that?
No.
Okay, so
and there was
allegedly
not a
Pearly hit the 12th
green.
No,
I have witnesses. But I was not in front of millions of people and everything. But I'll tell you what, my heart was skipping a beat when I was up there, because it's such a cool shot. You sit there, this is my only chance in life to hit this dang green.
Right.
and I want to hit it.
Let's go back and we'll cover the.
No, I want to talk about hitting the green.
I don't want to talk about you hitting the green. No, we'll go back and talk about the 12th in a little bit.
Yep.
But first of all, such a pro Tiger atmosphere. I mean, you know, DJ comes up. He's number two in the world. He's the highest ranked player. That, you know, Justin Rose was number one. Missed the cut. You've got all of these. This leaderboard. When have you seen a leaderboard like that? I mean, there were a couple people missing. Spieth wasn't on there, McIlroy, but I mean, in terms of everybody else, Koepka, you know, here's a guy that's won three of the last seven majors, and one of those he didn't get to play in because of an injury. And he's right there. And with a little more luck on Saturday, Koepka, you know, makes four more putts.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you could tell he hit those putts where he wanted to, but watching it, it was like divine intervention. It really was. You know, there's that energy that the crowds bring and things like that. But
so that tips the scales in your opinion.
It does. It's like,
and why is that? I get it. I like Tiger. I'm definitely a Tiger fan. I'm bought in. But why is it? What is it? Jay, 2-1, 5-1, 10-1. What is it?
It's at least 10-1. It is at least 10-1.
That makes no sense to me.
It doesn't. You know what a country we live in. There, you know, to give this is the public humiliation. Forget the back surgeries and all that. Do you know how mentally strong you have to be to want to open your door after all the things that happened?
Come out of the door.
And then walk through. Then walk through the damn thing. Yeah.
Well, people, there's no doubt. You can follow plenty of athletes through the years. Something about somebody, not just an athlete, but people being at the top, getting torn down, climbing their way back up to that pinnacle again. There's something about that in the American psyche is a monster, monster deal. And it is exciting, but I still don't get the 10-1 thing. You know, and Brooks is the one, Koepka, the key, and he keeps on saying, I'm not getting the respect, I'm not getting the attention, they're not cheering for me as loud. And I keep thinking to myself, I'm not sure I'm going to bring that up, Brooks, because that's not going to change. Now, one way it would change, go win 27% of your tournaments.
Right.
It'll change.
Right.
It'll change.
Right.
And because Brooks is easy to root for. He's a fun guy to watch.
He's lost his 25 pounds. He's taken a little bit of beating by our buddy Brandel Chamblee, who will be on this show soon. But, yeah, I don't know. There's no way when you're standing around there to try to figure out the crowd stuff. There's no way to figure it out because it's like Tiger is the ultimate showman. So we're sitting on the practice tee yesterday watching him, and you know what he does? And you know, so I know a little bit about what's going on. So Tiger's not going to be able to do anything without Joe, because Joe's got the bag and the clubs, you know. So he's walking around Pearl. He walked the length of the range behind every player, bright red shirt, hat, with some wedge in his hand. Did not hit a ball. So I'm just looking at this from this perspective. Like, I think he's walking down this tee, telling everybody, "Hey, boys.
This is mine.
This is mine."
Yeah,
that's what I think he was doing, and I know for nobody else other than himself, probably, because I watched several guys.
No.
Like
they know.
Like Koepka didn't even turn around. He was doing his thing, but you know, Poulter did. Martin Keimer, who was practicing, so I just was watching, and they were all like, "Wonder." I'm sure they were going, what you doing? He went to the far end of the range then, and I'm watching Joe. He's already at the other end of the range. So essentially he's walking there and back. So they get to see him twice. And it was like, this is what I do.
When I thought it was game on, so that's something that happened really kind of right before that, in essence, was at the end of the third round. I was telling you earlier today, he's up on 18. Joey's kind of right behind his, I think, left shoulder. And they get a great camera shot on the TV of Tiger turning around and has this very sincere, determined grin and kind of half mouths. It has the look of, "Joey, we're right where we need to be." And that look on his face, they always reference the eyes and this and that. Well, that look to me was like Tiger's like, "I'm exactly where I wanted to be, where I want to be, and I am thrilled to be there."
After 3 days, Tiger's like, "Check every box."
Yep. Yeah. You're a good point. That's why you could say it.
Here's, well, that's going to do it for the On the Range segment. We got to take a quick break, but come back. We're going to move to the front nine. This is Golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN.
Doster, Olam & Boyle, LLC are a proud sponsor of Golf with Jay Delsing here on 101 ESPN. The firm was started in January 2015 by Mike Doster, Jess Olam, and John Boyle, three veterans of the St. Louis real estate, banking, commercial, and corporate legal landscape. The firm was founded on the shared view that success should be measured by client and community satisfaction, not profits for partner. The firm's focus is on business, real estate, corporate, finance and restructuring, and succession planning. Since its founding in 2015, Doster, Olam & Boyle have been involved in real estate, business, and corporate transactions with a combined value in excess of over $1 billion. For decades, Doster, Olam & Boyle lawyers have been recognized as leaders in their practice areas by their peers. Doster, Olam & Boyle, LLC. Extraordinary talent, ordinary people. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
I just wanted to let you know that USA Mortgage has lowered its rates this month. That's right, they've lowered their rates. We are keeping them down as long as we can to take advantage of the great real estate market this spring. Buyers are flooding the market, values are going up, and USA Mortgage is ready to help you with you and your pre-approval, refi, or cash out opportunity. We can help you eliminate your mortgage insurance, shorten your term, or pay off debt. Please call Joe Schieser at 314-628-2015 to apply or get sound financial advice for your mortgage needs. Hurry while the rates are still low. You can apply online at usamortgage.com/Joe Schieser. That's S-C-H-I-E-S-Z-E-R. Or call him directly at 314-628-2015. NMLS number 231118.
Urban Chestnut Brewing Company is proud to be an official sponsor of 101 ESPN's newest show, Golf with our friend Jay Delsing. Just like Jay, Urban Chestnut is born right here in St. Louis. With three local brewing and restaurant locations, you won't travel far to sample straight from the source. If you're heading out to the links this weekend, or if you're just in the mood for a classic German-style beer, grab a four-pack of our fresh, refreshing Zwickel Bavarian Lager wherever craft beers are sold. Urban Chestnut Brewing Company, St. Louis, Missouri. Prost!
You're listening to Golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN. You can find Jay online at jaydelsinggolf.com.
Welcome back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. Jay and John are here with you. This is a segment, Pearl, we call The Front Nine. And each week, thank you for the emails. And keep them coming in with the questions and just anything golf-related concerns. You want to talk about equipment, we select your email. And you'll receive Golf for Two at Gateway National, compliments of Walter's Golf Management.
Well, this week, Steve writes, and I have to even keep a straight face. It's a great question, but boy, we all have this problem. Can you help me with a mental problem? I cannot seem to keep my mind quiet as you read about the game's top players. I'm constantly running scenarios in my head. Can you suggest a way to stop all the noise? I am listening, no pun intended, with open ears here, yeah, Mr. Delsing. Right. I would love to know how to do this.
Okay, well, firstly, Steve, you know, thanks for listening. And secondly, yeah, I think I can give you some pointers. If you like to read, Bob Rotella's got several books, Golf's Not a Game of Perfect and Golf is a Game of Confidence. I think I got a chapter in one of those two where I threw Bob for a loop several times and he kept coming back. But what happens with your brain, we've learned about this, and Pearl, you know a little bit about this, yep, the stuff you use for your business. Your brain is an accommodating device, meaning if you throw in there, Steve, what's wrong with my putting, you're going to find a lot of answers that are going to come your way. And hell, Steve, I'm not even going to say any of them are correct. Your brain is just going to search the database and come up with stuff that could be, you know, wrong with what you know, with what you're doing with your putter. So I think the biggest thing is you got to, first of all, watch the input. Watch what you let in. What do you spend? We already know this from a psychological standpoint. We get what we spend most of our time thinking about. That's, you know, we're just led in that direction. So you've got to really start paying attention to what you put in. Remember, your brain can't determine what's really happened and what hasn't happened. Because, Pearl, when you have a dream, a vivid dream, like how many times you've dreamed of hitting that 12th green at Augusta.
And I did it.
And but you wake up from that dream and go, oh, man, thank God. I don't think I hit that 12th green. No, but we're just making fun of that. But, Steve, that's how this works. Your brain doesn't know the difference if you're dreaming or if it's reality. So you've really got to be mindful of what you let in there. And secondly, try to focus on what it is you want, yes, not what you don't want. You don't step up to the 18th tee where there's water on the right and an OB on the left and going, well, I'd rather hit it in the water than the OB. You know, you pick out your target, you commit to your shot, and then you go. And if you're getting interference while you're swinging, you need to back off. And that's what you see these guys do. Pearl, yesterday, how many times did you see Tiger talking to himself?
Most of it.
And you know what? You know, we know he's running through. He's running through. I got four of these already. Mm-hmm. I've been through that. And which guy that was chasing it or was involved yesterday, can you say had one? Not major. They were major winners, but not there. It's a different animal.
Well, I think a big part of that too, Jay, and you're a big proponent, maybe you can talk on that to answer the question too, is what's the process? You know, what are you into? Your pre-shot routine, what do you want to happen? When you say be careful what you let in, be purposeful of how you're thinking this thing through. You watch those guys. If something happens and they come off the shot, watch them every time. They will go through the whole routine. Some guys will even go back, put their club back in the bag,
Or re-tee their ball up. We've seen that happen.
To go way back. It's not right. Just stepping away necessarily. It's what's the beginning of their particular routine. So, Steve, from a caddy standpoint, because I would help Jay with this. If something would happen or if the goal was on a putt, to peek twice and then hit the putt, and literally if I would watch him kind of take that third peek, I'd pull him off the putt, go, that's
don't
not the
it.
Routine.
Right. No
the
question.
Same thing could be on the driver. Maybe two peeks down the fairway, then swing. And if he was going to come off that routine, I would say something, and we would come back and get right back onto it. So I think a great routine can help you, and I love what Jay said as far as be purposeful of what you're thinking and be positive of. What do you want the shot to look like? Be focused on that and not let that crazy stuff creep into your head. But it's a great question because it's something even the best in the world struggle with, especially like in the Masters when the other guys watch the previous guys keep hitting it in the water. All of a sudden, it's tough controlling that mind.
No, it really is. And the other thing, let's talk about this just briefly. Quieting your mind doesn't necessarily mean nothing's going on. It doesn't mean that. It means that what's going on is all part of the plan, and it's all part of what I'm doing, and it's not trying to undercut or dissolve confidence or things like that.
I think anytime it's pressure, whether it's at work, at home, whatever the case is, what's your plan? Get back to the plan, execute your plan, and be focused and be consumed with that. That's how I think you get over that, whether it's a golf shot or you're dealing with a big deal at work.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, back to Augusta.
I knew you were anxious. Thanks, Steve, for that question. That was awesome. Yeah, Augusta's on our mind.
Yeah, so we basically put the show together, and then we threw it away because of how the whole this whole thing played out.
Because it also played out. What were you thinking being down there, Jay? From the couch, you could see as the week was building that this was going to be something special.
Yeah.
Not necessarily the Tiger was going to win, but the Tiger was clearly in the hunt. But there was so many guys in the hunt. Brandel Chambly, who is so into the details and all the history and the numbers, was talking about, well, if you're not within one or some shots of the lead, if you're not in the top eight, you never win. I think all that went out the window because the way it was all bunched up. As a matter of fact, I know one of the main ones that they were talking about did, because I think Tiger was in 10th or 11th at some point, when if you weren't in the top eight, you could never win. So when they told him about that last night, he started laughing. He says, okay, good for me. Like, yeah, I don't think that was on his – Steve, he wasn't thinking about that one out there, trust me.
No. Man, I just the when I look back at it now and watching Tiger and watching the – he is going about his business in such a different way than when he was younger and playing on tour.
He needs to.
He absolutely does. One of the things that stuck out in my mind when we knew we were going to have rain on Sunday – I think it was Amanda was interviewing him and said, so what does tomorrow look like? Now you're going to play at 9:20 instead of 3:05. That's a huge difference, mm-hmm. right? And he says, well, you know, I'll get up about 3:45 or 4. You know, and so, folks, just chew on that for a minute. So we're going to get to the golf course, you know, because he's going to get a little something to eat, a little bit of, you know, light practice and warming up on the physical aspect. What's he doing all those other hours? He's getting his body ready.
Absolutely.
He's on the floor. He's working out. He's running. He's doing all of the – when he was a young guy, he used to run like 5 miles in the morning before he played.
I remember the U.S. Open, I think it was, the one year when there was a rain delay, and he actually ran – 5 miles between rounds.
Yeah. So
there's a reason he's a little bit different out there.
It totally is. And so, and they asked Francesco Molinari, who, by the way, started the round somewhere in his early 30s, age-wise, Pearl. And when he walked up on 18, he looked like he was about 50.
I don't know. Maybe, but I'll tell you what, he was awesome too. You know, I appreciate the Tiger one. But a lot of these guys played fantastic.
Oh, no,
and made
I'm not
pressure,
saying that.
Pressure, putts,
oh, no,
and pressure
did,
shots.
Oh, no, he did great. I didn't actually expect him to fold. But look at the stress on his face the last six holes. I thought he was going to just – he needed a, you know, to – I don't know what he needed. But
well,
he
plus, did. You know, Molinari also very much stood up to Tiger and what beat him at Carnoustie last year.
Oh, yeah.
I think they had a couple one-on-one matches. What was it? He beat him in – Ryder Cup in Chicago.
I think he did.
Beat or tie, maybe beat him. And then I think they tied someplace else. So it's not like he was going to wilt the Tiger. He had a great history with Tiger as far as really being competitive. Well, more than competitive.
And did you see him? The picture of him when he caddied for his older brother, Eduardo?
Yeah, that was awesome.
And then he got paired with Tiger because Eduardo won the U.S. Amateur. And the tradition there is the current United States Amateur champ gets paired the first day with the defending champ at the Masters. And you got Francesco over there who looks, you know, like a little baby carrying a golf bag. It was a pretty cool shot.
That's interesting history. And how many times do you see that? That somebody was there that ends up being there in the big time, you know— Because you need to see that, yes, it's special. Yes, it's interesting, but they're humans.
Right.
It is possible if you work hard to accomplish these things. So I think when you're either that kid that crawled under the fence to get out of the golf course to see those things, you hear those stories all the time. But you kind of need to see that when you're younger and gives you real clarity of what do I need to do to get there myself.
I got to tell you, so this is a little bit of a bunny trail, but I was down there with Jay Delsing, golf, doing entertainment and hospitality, and Emerson, phenomenal company that I was able to represent the last 4 days, has Ben Crenshaw coming in to speak with us. Mm. So there's three of us pros. Ben's one of them. And I'm sitting there, and the one of the dads, it's just so cool, one of the dads brings his son down to experience their first Masters together. And we're sitting there, and Ben Crenshaw is talking, and I just had this weird thing. When I was that kid's age, when I was 15 years old, I had a favorite player on tour, Ben Crenshaw. And I have played 100 rounds of golf with Ben Crenshaw now. And I had this wave of, oh, man, it was almost gratitude and humility. And like, if you'd have told me when I was 15 that fast forward it and I'm 100 years old now and Ben is talking to us and I'm a constituent.
Yeah.
What? Oh.
So that kid's having that experience, and not only with Ben, but with you, and interacting with the whole thing, and who knows? You know, and part of that, too, we always talk about the business and personal aspect as well. So just as a business guy, that young guy wants to do something in business so someday he can be down there with a bunch of business guys interacting, having a great time, seeing the Masters, and hobnobbing with the top people in sports and business.
Yeah, and who? That's what my point was. Who knows what cool things are hitting this kid at 15? You know, because he's a golfer himself. He's a scratch golfer. He wants to play in college. But his dad's a businessman. He's down there. You know, that's a pricey ticket down there when you go to Augusta. And then he's got Ben Crenshaw, who's played in 42 Masters tournaments.
It's been fun to listen to.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's one of the most genteel, authentic, cool, friendly people. He's kind, too. You know, he just, you ask him a question, he's like, man, I don't know how I made that putt. I was so nervous. You know, he did talk about his putting a little bit, which is cool. You know, one of the top three best putters probably of all time.
Well, and he got to experience one of the coolest things ever that happened at the Masters was the way he went and won and his interaction with his caddy and all the special stories.
Second
that went
time
along.
He won when Harvey Pinnock died and that sort of thing. Yes, yeah. Fantastic story. And, you know, he talked about his putting. You know what? And I'm going to use that as my tip of the day in our fourth segment. We have a new sponsor for our 19th hole that I can't wait to introduce today, and we are going to use that tip of the day on our 19th hole. So we're not there yet, though. This is just wrapping up the front nine.
Okay.
Come back. We're going to have some messages, and you and I, Pearl, will head to the back nine at Augusta. We'll talk about Amen Corner.
Bring it on.
And this is Golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN.
Are you looking for a golf training facility and PGA pros to help you out year-round? Make sure you get to Golf Tech. They've been in St. Louis since 2007 and have three convenient locations to serve you. They've got state-of-the-art video equipment, and you can take your lesson home with you and replay it as much as you'd like. Start with a golf swing evaluation for only $125 and let a Golf Tech coach customize a game plan for you. 314-721-GOLF. You can find them online as well, golftech.com-St. Louis. Play better. Swing better. Golf Tech.
I got a big shout out and a thank you to Whitmore Country Club for supporting my golf show. I don't know if you know, Whitmore Country Club has 72 holes of golf. There's a 24-hour fitness center and has a extremely large pool complex. This is a family-friendly country club to belong to. There's a kids club in the main clubhouse right near the fitness center. There are golf leagues, skin game, members, tournaments, couples events are available all year long. If you join at Whitmore, you also get access to the Missouri Bluffs, the Links of Dardenne, and the Golf Club of Wentzville. And the cart fees are already included in that membership. There are no food or beverage minimums, no assessments. Go out and see my friend Bummer out in the clubhouse. He is an absolute jewel and a wonderful guy that will tell you all you need to know. Or you can call Whitmore at 636-926-9622.
You're listening to Golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN. You can get involved in the show by emailing your questions and comments to jay@jaydelsinggolf.com.
Welcome back. This is Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host. I'm your host,
you're
Jay,
host.
And I'm
you're
right here,
host.
And you are Pearly, and you're right next to me.
The assistant host.
Yeah, Pearl, we're headed to the back nine,
yep.
And there's just no way to, you know, we've got all this cool information that this show is going to be about, mm-hmm. and it's going to be for a later time, because we're going to talk all Tiger, all Masters, try to cover some unique aspects of the tournament that you may not know. First of all, for the person that's never been to Augusta, the undulation, the ups and downs on the back, especially, well, no, the whole place. It was head-scratching the first time I saw it.
You know, it's almost where TV, almost the only time it can be shown on TV is when the guys get in certain bunkers. And then they do a great TV shot of how intimidating that is and how severe it is. So if in your mind you can kind of take that and extrapolate to the rest of the golf course, because whatever you see the rest of the course as far as rolling hills on TV, it's 5 times, 10 times in person.
No, it is. And I was taking some groups around, you know, with my business and stuff, and when everybody gets to the 10th tee and they look down and they're like, holy smokes, man, I cannot believe how downhill that shot is. And they also said to me, I didn't realize, you know, 10, 18 had such dog legs to them.
Mm-hmm.
And that gets, you know, that gets overlooked so many times. Pearl, how about the crazy drive that Rory McIlroy hit off the 10th tee? I think it was in 2012 when he had a four-stroke lead. Ladies and gentlemen, Google that thing. You won't believe it. This is the best driver on the golf ball that I've ever seen. Consistently long, straight, and the tournament was getting away from him at the time. He did not have a four-stroke lead, but he started that day, that fourth day, with a four-stroke lead, and he drove the ball 80 yards off the tee and what, Pearl, 45 yards straight to the left?
At least.
Yeah.
At least, and who knows what trees it rattled around and things like that, but yeah, you just must have had just a complete mental lapse to do, because it's not, the Masters could be played for another 100 years and nothing will be within 50 yards where that golf ball was.
Right, and most people thought it was out of bounds. They're like, we don't even have a boundary over there because it wasn't even an issue. But the Augusta brings so much to the table for me, Pearl. The golf course, first of all. Never, ever do you see a golf course, the property that is so well maintained. And
was it really pretty there, Jake? What were the?
It was not. The azaleas were. You know why, Pearl? We are a little later this year, and some of them are a little tired.
Does a great job of always making it look like they're popping. But I've been fortunate to be there down there a time or two. Sometimes they are. Sometimes they're not. Yeah. It's always gorgeous. Don't get me wrong.
It is.
But sometimes it's popping, and it is like every hole is like a picture. You mentioned number 10, by the way. How about the view of the second shot on 10? It's just that next level of majestic, and I appreciate when they cover it, they talk about the hanging lie.
Yeah.
But when you've got that downhill hanging lie to that green, dead to the bunker to the right, who knows what can happen to you to the left. It's another one where they do a good job talking about it, but until you're there, you can't realize how hard that shot is.
Here's another thing that I picked up this year, and 10's a beautiful example of it. The way McKenzie designed this thing, and he had some help from some other great architects, even of the golden era of golf architecture, but there's so much that makes it so difficult to know how far to hit this ball. Mm. So 10's a perfect example. Why is that bunker 60 yards short of that green?
To mess up your head on distance.
100%. Sure. To catch your eye. What's the first thing?
It works, doesn't it?
And you think, you know, Pearl, we're so trained. Okay, so there's a bunker, and I just need to get over it. There's another, 50, 60 yards to the front edge of the green. The other thing that he did almost diabolically is, you know, he was trying to create a parkland, which is an inland golf course that you could kind of play along the ground. Well, that's kind of gone out the window with a modern-day player. But what he did, Pearl, he's got so many false fronts and so many huge slopes in those greens that when your ball doesn't get up there, it goes into places that you almost can't even play from.
Yeah, so many times you just miss the green in other tournaments and you're a step off. Now you just miss the green. By the time it gets done rolling, you're 30 yards off on a tight lie into a false front next shot.
And you don't want to be there anyway because you're
one little misstep, you're there again.
Yeah, and I mean the 14th green is crazy. The 9th green is like that. So if your ball rolls off the front right part of the 9th green at Augusta, you might have an 80-yard shot left.
Yeah.
You might rather have an 80-yard shot than some of those little tight lies around there. But
I want to throw something out there too, because we're talking about how pretty it is and kind of neat to get down there. Whoever has a chance to also get down for the practice round, if you don't, you know, you can't win that lottery ticket situation for the regular, Thursday through Sunday event, but a practice round, any of those, just to go out on the premises is worth it. Wouldn't you say,
Jay? 100%.
And sometimes those practice rounds can even be more fun because you can get a little bit closer in some situations. You see the guys interacting differently. So, and those are fairly readily available relative to regular tournament rounds. So don't hesitate if you possibly get a chance, because if you're a golfer, it should be on your bucket list.
No, there's no question. I mean, so I was with probably 150 guests this week with my business, and all of them said, whether they were first-timers or not, the ones that had been there already said it was a bucket list thing. And the first-timers are like, this is my bucket list. Mm. You know, I can't wait to get out there. So we had a guy, he grew up in Augusta, Georgia. He's an accountant, lived with his mother. She just passed away. He's 73 years old. And he collected every year since 1934 what a badge looked like.
That's awesome.
And he brought it over. I took some pictures. It's on social media. At Jay Delsing on Twitter, if you'd like to follow me, and took some pictures, and it's just crazy. So, how much did the first ticket in 1934 cost?
Wow, absolutely no idea, but I'll say $10.
35 cents. Is that funny? And guess where it's written? In pen on the ticket.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah,
that's
awesome. I mean, it's just, and who knew?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, who? Yeah. Do you think Jones and even Jack Stevens, who was alive much later, you think they have any clue what this is? What this is? I mean, over $11 million purse. This we had. We also had a member from Augusta give us some numbers about what they think they make for the week. $250 million. In 7 days. You can't buy this stuff online. They make over $100 million in merchandise.
That's remarkable.
I try to contribute to it every time I go down there.
I bet. But it's a special place, and you know, through the years, they've gotten lambasted for multiple different things. But you have to appreciate, I'll say I appreciate, how they've really tried to stand their ground and what they believe, keep the tradition. You know, Jay, how well-mannered are the fans, for example? The patrons. You know, they've got a whole vocabulary they have to follow down there as well. And it's a special place that way. And, yes, you can rail against some of the things, but the other things I appreciate about them is eventually when they hear criticisms that I think they talk about, think about, and realize are fair, they do something. So they had the ladies' tournament down there that we mentioned last week. They have always got that putt, chip, and drive with the kids. So they've come a long way in their way to make that stuff fit there and enhance that event. And I think those events have actually enhanced the Masters because it makes it more understandable and where people can relate to it more because of it.
Yeah, and it's more for everybody.
That's what I was trying to say.
Why do you not look? We didn't grow up in a financial situation that might be considered ideal. Now I think it was ideal. We didn't have a whole lot of money. But, I mean, if we were excluded from because of race or ethnicity or crap.
Yeah. Yep.
You know, so, and the other thing that – let's talk about this real quickly. I can't stand people talking about golf as a rich kid sport. I just can't stand it. I heard it so much down at Augusta. Look, we're at a place that's almost so hoity-toity it makes you want to puke at certain times. And that's like a little baby, you know, maybe 2% of the 100%. But it's but look, you can go out and play in a municipal golf course for $20 and get yourself a set of clubs for $50 and start loving the game.
It's very accessible. It's very accessible.
And if you think that only the country club kids are the good players, completely mistaken. And I will say this, Pearl. From the guys on the PGA Tour in our generation, they all grew up more like I did. Mm-hmm. You know, kind of middle class, low to middle class, whatever, worked hard, played a lot of sports growing up, and then wound up playing golf. Now, today's a little different. Kids are coached out the wazoo from early ages. That's why you're seeing so many of the young players swing almost identically. But it doesn't necessarily mean they're wealthy. It just means that their parents are trying to do all they can to get this kid in golf.
Yeah, I think it's accessible. And once you kind of get the bug and get the passion to work at it, it's amazing what you can accomplish.
Well, that's going to wrap up the back nine. This is Golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN. Please come back. We're going to the 19th hole, and we are going to introduce our new official sponsor of the 19th hole. Come on back.
Jerseyville Carpet and Furniture Gallery are a proud sponsor of Golf with Jay Delsing. They've been around since 1973, and it's been family-owned and operated the entire way. Father Danny Capps started it all. Now sons Matt and Jared are fully involved. And at Jerseyville Carpet and Furniture Gallery, they host the area's largest selection of Lazy Boy and Flex Steel furniture. Plus, you'll find a full-service Mohawk Color Center featuring carpet, hardwood, laminate, and waterproof flooring. Everything is professionally installed at Jerseyville Carpet and Furniture Gallery, plus easy to delivery and setup of new furniture however and wherever you want it. They'll also haul away all of your old furniture. Can't beat that deal. Going the extra mile, that's what Jerseyville Carpet and Furniture Gallery is all about. Find them online, jerseyvillecarpetfurniture.net, or call them 618-639-9858.
Most people think to get fit, you've got to be in the gym 5 days a week. Well, I used to think that too, but that was before I discovered 20 Minutes to Fitness. 20 Minutes to Fitness makes it possible to achieve in one 20-minute session a week what might require 3 hours or more a week at the gym. It reduces the time it takes to exercise by up to 90%. Their trainers can get you in shape no matter what your age or fitness level. They do it using special equipment and safe, medically based approach. And all it takes is 20 minutes once a week. Honestly, 20 minutes once a week. Sound too good to be true? Your first session is free, so try it and see for yourself. They've got locations in Clayton and Chesterfield. To learn more, visit 20minutestofitness.com. 20 Minutes to Fitness. It's just 20 minutes just once a week, and it works for me. I just wanted to let you know that USA Mortgage has lowered its rates this month. That's right, they've lowered their rates. We are keeping them down as long as we can to take advantage of the great real estate market this spring. Buyers are flooding the market, values are going up, and USA Mortgage is ready to help you with you and your pre-approval, refi, or cash out opportunity. We can help you eliminate your mortgage insurance, shorten your term, or pay off debt. Please call Joe Schieser at 314-628-2015 to apply or get sound financial advice for your mortgage needs. Hurry while the rates are still low. You can apply online at usamortgage.com/Joe Schieser. That's S-C-H-I-E-S-Z-E-R. Or call him directly at 314-628-2015. NMLS number 231118.
You're listening to Golf with Jay Delsing on 101 ESPN. You can get involved in the show by emailing your questions and comments to jay@jaydelsinggolf.com.
Welcome back to Golf with Jay Delsing. I'm your host, Jay. I got Pearly, John Perlis with me. Good buddy, great caddy, better friend. And here we are in the 19th hole. And we've got an official sponsor, Mike Duffy's Bar and Grill, is now the official sponsor of the 19th hole. So the 19th hole is brought to you by Mike Duffy's. Mike, first of all, Mike Duffy is a great guy, family guy. He's owned his restaurants. He's lived in St. Louis his whole life, I think 33 years, he told me. He's got three locations. And so stay tuned, because what we're going to do is once every so often, we're going to host, I know you're going to be there as soon as I tell you this, because I'm going to host a little happy hour party and buy everybody a beer and talk about golf for a minute. I'll buy the first beer. I'll say that. I'm going to buy the first beer. And so I'll buy you first beer. And yeah, I'm going to talk a little bit about golf, but we're delighted to have Mike and his bar and grill on the show. And great spot, good food, better people. So, all right, Hurl, we got to talk about the 12th. We talked about it earlier. Let's get back to the 12th. How does this happen?
I was going to ask you.
How does this happen?
Were you there when anybody's hitting in the water?
No. Okay. No. I will say this, because we left right as they were making the turn at the front end.
Right.
The amount of crowd, you couldn't see anything anyway. We would get strategically out there, and 25, 30 people deep for Tiger. Tiger played with, it was Molinari, Tiger, and Tony Finau in the last group.
So every year they talk about 12. Every year they talk about how Hogan and then Ken Ventura used to talk about how that breath of air, he would sense it, right, and all that kind of stuff. Obviously there's something there because it messes the guys up. 150-yard shot, Jay?
It was like 152.
152-yard shot.
Nine irons and wedges.
Four of the top players in the world hit it in the water. Four of six at one point. Poulter,
Koepka,
Molinari, and Finau. They're also watching each other, so it's not like it's a surprise. Maybe they should hit it a little bit further. The announcers acknowledge it from their perspective anyway. They think the guys each look like they had a solid shot. And what I said to you before the show, which was blowing me away, for the most part, I think three of them were posing. They liked it.
Yeah.
How many times, just in general, does a tour player pose on a shot, meaning they like it, they feel good about it, and it end up in the penalty area, as they call it these days?
Ugh,
and by the way, a couple of those weren't very close. It's not like they almost made it.
No.
They were three, four, five steps short of making
it. So first of all, let's set this up. The 12th green sits away from you. It angles away from you from the tee box. Almost 45 degrees
from left to right.
Okay. So, folks, the front right part of the green is an extra 6 yards of carry compared to the front left part of the green. And as a player, that's the first thing you're going to go, I got to watch this.
But you can't necessarily pick that up by your eye on the tee, can you? Very much a yardage book
thing. It's a yardage book thing. It's also an experience thing. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to tell you what I saw. This is so cool because I did watch this. Yes, it didn't look like any of those guys mishit those balls. But something happened to get those things in the water.
Golf gods.
But I will say this. Tiger set up after watching the two guys in front of the group in front of him. This guy knows exactly what's going on, by the way. So we got Koepka and Poulter hitting it in the water in front of him. Who was their third? Simpson. So Simpson puts it on the green, and he did something similar to Tiger 2, folks, that you probably saw. You may or may not have picked up on. Then we get up on who had the honors on number – Molinari had the honors. And he has been unflappable, by the way.
And rock solid iron guy.
After 10 holes, he had 7-1 putts. So rock solid iron guy wasn't in it too close to the hole, but he was sure as hell making lots of pars. And he birdied number 8, doing great stuff. And so he hits it in the water. Tiger gets up there and completely changes the shot that he was going to play. Maybe not completely changes it, but let's say this. He hit an entirely different shot than the other four guys that hit the ball in the water. And I think it's because of it's from experience. Mm-hmm. And the shot he hit, Pearl, was a low, trappy draw hook. It wasn't going short.
It wasn't going short, and it wasn't going right.
There's two places that's exactly right. There's two places it wasn't going. You hit the nail on the head, and where it was going was left of the flagstick, and if anything, in that back bunker. Mm-hmm. And that
all of which you can make par from.
And
not going to make par from the water.
For the record, Simpson, who likes to move the ball right to left, just did the same thing. Yeah. And there's something about that shot. John, I will say this. You're standing out there with a 9-iron. The flag sticks on the right. You're all thinking about we're going to move this thing from the center of the green to the right, right at that flag stick. And you know what, Pearl? Sometimes that ball just doesn't fly.
There is such a discipline and especially when you're in that competitive mode, that headspace, there's such a discipline to truly be able to hit a shot not at the pin. And to your point, Jay, to not only hit it not at the pin, but to move it away from the pin is a mental
until
tough
you've
thing
tried
to do.
Until you've had enough control over your golf ball, especially with a short iron, and to go, I'm going to completely accept a shot with this short scoring club that's going to be 50 feet from the hole.
First time I ever got on a golf course with a sports psychologist, he ran me through
Dr. Ogilvy.
Yes, yep. He ran me through that type of thing. And we would stand on a shot, and he'd say, you know, the pin's back right. He said, I want you to hit it at the front left of the green with the draw. And I'm, what are you talking about? And so he was just taking me through the paces, and you hear them say a lot of times, oh, he's going to hit the safe side of the green, whatever the case is. Sometimes it's easier that way, but you can just see, as you said, Jay, with that short iron, I'm trying to really get something going here. And again, to move it away from the hole and start it away from the hole is tough, and only Tiger did it.
And I will tell you this. If Tiger Woods had the two-stroke lead like Molinari, he's hitting the same shot, Pearl.
Of course he is.
And so Molinari, so let's replay that. I can't, I've got it in my mind's eye, but Molinari played the wrong shot. Because of experience, I'm going to tell you that. He played the wrong shot. And he will probably say, I hit it well, and he probably did. But, Pearl, he's got to be aiming at that left-hand bunker.
Now, at the time, though, what did he have, a three-shot lead? Was it 10-under, 13-under?
It was a two- or three-shot lead. It was,
But here's another thought, right? Here's another thought. I stuffed this thing. Just seconds.
Stuffed
this. I know, obviously. Yeah. But if I stuff this thing, it's over.
It's not. Because we got 13 and 15 to play, and that's why that's a bad thought. Because 13, and look, I might have been having that same thought, and we'd have been right there together with you, but think about that.
No, I would have said hit a full hook.
Yeah, you're going to hit the pull hook, but I promise you, his target should have been front bunker.
I don't know. When I saw four guys in a row pose, meaning they liked it and it went in the water. Something was happening.
But this
there.
Is what my point
golf
is.
Golf gods.
And I'm with you with the golf gods. I totally sign off on the golf gods. But this is where the only two people that played away from the flags to hit the green, right. And everybody else came up short.
Right.
I don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. It is like Augusta's got like a wind vortex up there, and they, you know, blow it against the people. That, I don't know.
Amazing.
But it was great stuff. Great drama. Shortest hole in the golf course, by the way, 152 yards. There's more drama there year after year, and just.
But it wasn't over at that point.
No.
So we go to 13.
Yep.
They're bombing it. They're in play. They do all those kinds of things. I don't know. I must have gone out for a snack or something like that. But next time I look up, Molinari is out of the first cut. He's in what I guess they're calling second cut, you know, that kind of fringe left. So he obviously wanted to lay it up on the left side, and that makes sense for the angle. But when I saw him off the fairway, I'm thinking, you've got to be kidding me. How does he let that happen? The ball's sitting up a little bit. Now, you couldn't tell from the camera TV shot that there was a limb above him. And so that wasn't even, I don't think, in any of our minds. But when that ball's sitting up, as you know, it's tough to control that trajectory sometimes, because where are you going to hit it on your club face? But just the fact to me that I'm thinking, he's not in the fairway. What's going on here? How did he miss that shot?
And that fairway 60 yards wide there. I mean, it's impossible. Pearl, I'm telling you, this back nine kicked his ass so much, he aged 15 to 20 years, and he got out of his...
Well, obviously.
I thought the announcers, you know, I'm paying attention to this, and I mean, I screw all sorts of stuff up, but I thought Peter Casas just stepped all over himself on 15, where he's like, you saw the ball roll up the club face. I'm like, it didn't roll up the club face. You hit the nail on the head. The ball's sitting high. He's got to hit a 60-degree wedge, and he didn't... Neither of the guys caught the fact that the ball hit the tree.
Yeah.
He didn't hit it fat. He just hit it too high.
If I got the wrong hole, is that 15?
That's 15.
Sorry, I was talking 13.
Oh, no, that's 15. But
absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, nobody.
No, I think he, however you want to describe that, it was just another one of those places. But there's a good example. At a tough course under that pressure, all of a sudden, just to your point, aging, I promise you, when his ball wasn't in the fairway and he just knows as a great player how much harder he made that shot by not being in the fairway, that aged him. I'll throw 8 years out there just to that one before he hit it.
No question, Pearl. Plus, you got to remember, what's this kid get going through emotionally?
Right.
Three-stroke lead at 11. Now he's what? One back? And, you know, when you feel that kind of
that blood come out of your head and down to your knees and your feet are 400 pounds.
And you're lightheaded and you can't, you know, that sand's run right through your hands. You can't grab a hold of that stuff, man. It just, I can promise you, I don't know if he could have put that ball on the green from the rough there at 15.
Well, that's
nowhere near that flagstick, bro. Nowhere.
That's my point. And if he did anywhere near the flagstick, he would have had to take one heck of a chance to bump it in or do some iffy lie. On TV, it's sitting up just fine. Not for the shot
Not for that shot, no. No, that is not. That's one where if it sits down a little, you're like almost okay. You just make sure you get the ball first. Anyway, the other issue is there, Pearl. If that ball hits 1 inch short of the green without a little momentum to carry it onto the green 3 steps, it's back in the water.
That's what I'm saying. What I'm saying. So he could have, but he would be risking another aqua shot.
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
Aquaman.
So then can we move to 16?
Sure.
So we move to 16. Again, just some reason to go to Augusta National, you want to just go watch guys play at number 16 and on that particular day and how they just hang that shot out there. And it comes off the bank and does all those things. I remember one of our teammates from UCLA was very much in the hunt there, Corey, and whipped it in the water that one time. And you're thinking, how can that happen? Go stand out there.
It's not that far off. And one of the, just the drama. One of the things I did in the entertainment portion early in the week is take folks to 16 and show them where Tiger played that shot from over the bunker, banks it up the hill. And so, you know, once you folks, if you ever get a chance, not only Augusta, you got to go, but if you ever get a chance to go to a venue where we play on TV, it helps so much to put the pieces together, doesn't it, Pearl?
Sure does. One other thing to note, I think that made things weird out there was you had a golf course that was softer and the greens, I think it's safe to say, slower than we may have seen them in the last 20 years, 15 years. that messes with their heads too, because they've prepped in their minds, they've prepped from their previous years' experience to have a certain speed. And there were so many shots, and even the announcers were getting thrown off a lot. They said, well, he has no chance here on this pitch. Well, I'm thinking, it's softer than any other year, right, so he did have a chance. So there was a lot of that type of change too. So it was a very different Augusta National than in at least the last several years when it can be firm and lightning fast.
Right, right. We got to wrap up this Augusta.
What?
I know. Maybe we should do like three shows on Augusta, but man, golf wins. That's all I can say.
Yeah, sure.
Golf wins.
Sure.
Tiger has done it again. Just when you think you've seen it all, he's going to, you know, we haven't seen it all. So I can't wait for the rest of this year.
I was going to say, there's momentum. No, who knows what the heck he can accomplish? Physically, can he hold up? He looks pretty good.
He's going to play less.
I'm hoping for a lot of warm days for the sake of his body. And I want to see those other guys coming at him. Yeah. And I think we're going to see some fun, fun golf next three.
No question.
What do we have, 3 months and three majors in a row, right?
May we have the PGA Championship. June we have Father's Day and the U.S. Open. And the Open Championship is in July.
Fantastic.
Let's do briefly the putting tip that Ben Crenshaw gave on Thursday evening at the Champions Retreat. It's a spectacular place. And, folks, here's what he said. Whenever I was thinking about my stroke, how my backswing looked, how my through swing looked, what this was doing, what that was doing, is when I've always, without question, putted my worst. Mm. When I was into where I wanted the ball to roll, when I was into feeling, you know, the break, and I'm gonna, you know, hit this thing a cup out or six cups out, being at Augusta National, he said, and when I got my mind engaged out there, out towards the hole, out towards where I wanted this ball to roll, he goes, I made more putts than I could even imagine. And so the story to be dad here is, quit thinking so much about your putting. Be a kid. Stick, ball. There are some fundamentals. We've talked about those time and time again.
But not when you're playing.
Not when you're playing. Yeah. Just, you know, relax a little bit. That's the other thing. He said, man, when I could keep my hands soft, they just felt so good on that putter, you know, and...
But, Jay, wouldn't that feed through the whole bag?
Yeah.
Don't you really want to play the whole game that way?
Do you want to play every sport that way? You don't play any sport with stiff wrists. And you know, you don't see a guy shoot a free throw in the NBA without that soft supplement.
Not a lot of thinking in hockey if they're really flowing and playing.
Yeah, right, right. So, we got Mike Duffy's on as the bringing us this 19th hole this week, Mike, and his three restaurants, Richmond Heights and one in Chesterfield and one in Kirkwood. Thanks for being on the show. Stay tuned and listen for what we're going to do. We're going to put some events together. Mike Duffy's, we're going to have a cocktail or two and tell a story.
Awesome.
If you haven't heard it. And, that's great. Man, it's going to wrap up this 19th hole, this show. I don't know if I'm taking a breath, Burl, about this Augusta. It's really
fast.
Great stuff.
It's going to linger for a long time. Good fun things, and good fun things to come.
And hopefully Whitmore sponsors this show. Had a great, I know they had people out there watching.
I was
going to
say, how many people played Whitmore after that?
No kidding.
Got all the golf courses jazzed up because people are pumped up to go play golf.
I'm sure Bummer might have been running a little competition in the golf shop over there.
Surprise.
So thanks again for the Whitmore folks. Keep writing us, Jay at Jay Delsing Golf. It's JAY@JAYDELSINGGolf.com. Thanks for running the board. Pearl, thanks for being with us.
Love it.
Golf season's here, man.
Finally.
Hit them straight, St. Louis.
That was Golf with Jay Delsing, brought to you by Whitmore Country Club. Tune in next Sunday from 7 to 8 for more from Jay, John, and the other pros and experts from the golf world. In the meantime, you can find all of Jay's shows at 101ESPN.com as well as at jdelsinggolf.com.